Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome to Good News. This is Deacon Al. I'm an ordained deacon of the Peoria Diocese and serve a couple of parishes here in Bloomington Normal. It's a pleasure to be with everyone again on Good News. I want to remind you, we're here to open up the Gospels for all ages, but primarily to talk about how the Word of God affects teenagers in their lives today. And so we're going to be looking at today's Gospel reading for this weekend and talk about the relevancy of it to teenagers in their lives. We're also going to be taking some questions that have been sent in by not only by our listeners, but I have some questions from my eighth grade confirmation class. And thank you so much. These kids are just terrific. I really love the time I get to spend with them. And we do a little thing during the class called Stump the Deacon, where they have some index cards on their table and they get to write down any questions they have about their faith or about Catholicism or just about life in general and how it's affected by religion. And they come up with some really great questions. There was one that I thought was especially appropriate to today's readings, and we're going to do that first when we get to our questions. If you have a question you would like to throw our way, we invite you to do that by going to our website, CatholicSpiritRadio.org, or you can email it to us directly at goodnews@CatholicSpiritRadio.org, and we'll be happy to answer your questions here on the air. So our gospel reading for this week, we're into the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we're almost into our wonderful celebration of the resurrection, Feast of the Resurrection, Easter, which is the highlight of our year, my favorite holiday of the year, more so than Christmas or even St. Patrick's Day. Love the resurrection. It really, there's so much that goes on during Holy Week that tells the history and the purpose of our faith that it's hard not to love this time of year. So our reading, our gospel reading is from John, and it tells a really, really good story. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he's asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the womb, to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take the stone away." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen what he had done, and began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So this gospel story has so many facets to it. There's so many different things to talk about. It's really kind of hard to choose which way to go and what to really emphasize. But in order to make this more poignant to teenagers, I want you to understand one thing that this story is pointing out. Jesus was upset, not so much that his friend had died, but that his family, who he was very close to, he loved Martha, he loved Mary, he loved Lazarus. Outside of his own family, outside of his own mother and his apostles, these were probably Jesus' best friends. He stayed at their house. He ate with their family. He knew these people well, and they knew him. And they said they believed in him and who he was. And yet, when it came to death, they said, "Had you been here, you could have stopped this." We know from other gospel stories, other parables, and other stories in Scripture, Jesus doesn't need to be present for his power to be effective. For him to do his miracles did not require his presence. And yet, the people who knew him best felt like his distance kept him from being the God that he was, kept him from being the Savior that he was, somehow blocked his efforts. We do that. We put our own human constraints on the power of God. We say God couldn't do this or can't do that or won't do this, and it's really not up for us to decide, just as it's not up for Martha and Mary to decide what Jesus' powers are, what his abilities are as far as saving Lazarus. Lazarus was saved. Whether he died or not, Lazarus was saved. He was in a relationship with Christ. Christ loved him. That saved him. death, as we know, is not the end of our story. We're pilgrims here. This is not our home. This is our journey. We were created to be with Christ. That's who we are. That's who we're meant to be. Lazarus was in that relationship. They should have had no fear of his dying, because even in death, he would simply have grown even closer to Christ. And that's what he was for. That's what we're all meant for. So this is what perturbed Jesus. They still did not understand. Even the people closest to him, even the people he loved and who loved him, still didn't get it. And even today, we don't get it. Christ's power is boundless, and yet we try and restrict him by saying he can do this, he can't do that, or why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he cure COVID? Why doesn't he cure my friend of cancer? Why didn't he stop hunger? Why doesn't he stop this? That's not how we're saved. That's not what salvation means. Salvation isn't being free of illness. It's being free of sin. And that's what Christ does. That's the illness. That's the corruption. That's the stench. When we talk about the death of Lazarus, and Martha reminds him he's been dead for 4 days, think of the stench. What that story is actually telling us is about our own sin. Sometimes we are so deep in sin that we think we can't be saved, that our family thinks we can't be saved. But here was a man who was dead for 4 days, was already into the decay of death, the stench of death. And yet, through his relationship with Christ, he's restored back to life. Christ offers us that same salvation, that same freedom from the corruption of death, from the stench of our own sins. And it really doesn't matter how long we've been submerged into that sin. Christ offers us salvation, offers us his healing. And that all comes through the sacrifice he made for us on the cross to show us how much he loves us and to show that even through the brutality of the cross, Christ rose from the dead and offers us that same resurrection. And I think that's really important to remember. No matter where you are in your life, if you're in that relationship, that close relationship with Christ, salvation is already with us. And if you've become separated, if you're suffering from the corruption and the stench of sin, it's not too late. Christ's love is still there for you, and his salvation is still there for you. And all you need to do is reach out and ask for that help, and Christ is there for us. Think about that. I think it's a marvelous lesson. It's a beautiful reading. I love the fact that Jesus didn't rush to the side of his sick friend. He said, no, we're going to pull something greater out of this. We'll be back to more good news in just a few minutes.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Please excuse us as we interrupt this program briefly to bring you an important message.
Hi, I'm John Hall. I'm the founder and president of Catholic Spirit Radio. In March, this station celebrates its 10th anniversary. On March 9th, 2011, we began broadcasting at 89.5 FM from an abandoned telephone relay tower near Saybrook, Illinois. Since that time, we have moved on from one used transmitter to four new transmitters, from broadcasting in one county to three, from no listeners to thousands. We are a growing Catholic radio network broadcasting the EWTN Global Catholic Signal in McLean, Livingston, and Logan counties. Catholic Spirit Radio's goal is to catechize Catholics and evangelize Christians of other denominations, the unchurched, and those of other faith traditions, as well as non-believers. We rely on Holy Scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium of the Catholic Church as the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Our mission is to deepen the knowledge of Catholics and to share the true faith with non-Catholics. In pursuit of this mission, we provide light to those in darkness and certainty to those in doubt. We give inspiration to the hopeless and companionship to the lonely. We build up the faith of those in our parishes and communities. Everything that a small circle of volunteers and I have done over the past 10 years, we have done in your name. We could not have done it without your prayer and financial support. That's why I'm commenting today. I want to say thank you. Friends, it's hard to find the right words to express my gratitude, but rest assured, you have my heartfelt thanks, and more importantly, you will have the eternal gratitude of those souls who you've helped save.
Catholic Radio, changing hearts and minds.
I started listening to the Catholic Radio a few months ago. I guess I'm a little hypocritical right now because I'm not Catholic, and it just makes my day go by so much faster. I love the spiritual family that you have. I just think it's so awesome.
We depend on your support to keep Catholic Spirit Radio on the air 24 hours a day, broadcasting the truth and beauty of the Catholic Church.
Hello again, and welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al. If you have questions about your Catholic faith or about religion in general that you would like to ask, you can email me at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org, and we'll be happy to answer your questions on air. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. And keeping in line with our gospel reading about Lazarus came this question. After I had a family member pass away this year, I was upset with God. Why would God take someone so important in my life and take him away? Isn't he supposed to be a good God? And I think that's a very heartfelt question. I think we all have felt that pain of losing a family member that we love and wondering why. And it's not an easy answer to come up with, and it's not the same answer with every person. But I think something that's important to remember that we touched on earlier in the program is that death is part of the plan for us. We are not built to be immortal. We are not built to live forever in this body. This is our journey, not our destination. And at some point, we will have a life everlasting. For some of us, that will happen later in life, some very early in life. Some will know that it's coming, some won't. But none of that has any reflection on the goodness of God. God created us to be with him forever. And that's a beautiful thing. A gracious, loving, merciful God who wants nothing more than our companionship for all of time. So when a family member leaves, this is not a cause for anger or for distancing ourselves from God. Certainly it's a time for grief. And no one is saying that grief isn't just. When we love, being parted from that love is painful. But we can console ourselves in the fact that their new journey is beginning. Their journey here may have ended, but think of what's ahead of them, especially if they were in relationship with Christ during their life. So we should take consolation in the fact that they've gone on to a greater joy that we can't even understand. Scripture says that what's waiting for those who love God, we can't even imagine. Place yourself in the body of an unborn child, trying to imagine what life could possibly be like outside the womb. They would have absolutely no conception. We're the same way. We really are children in the womb in our life on this earth. We can't possibly conceive what the next life is going to be like with God. And what gives me comfort is time after time in Scripture, when Jesus talks about heaven, he often talks about compares it to a mansion or to a wedding reception. And I thought, how cool. What's waiting for us is a party in a mansion. Now, who would not look forward to that? I mean, I think that's awesome. Of course, that's one option. There's also option B. But option B comes from not having that relationship. And that's a choice. We choose heaven or we choose hell. We choose our own damnation by rejecting God in this life. So if your family member was a good person, had a good relationship with God, there's all the reason to have hope of their life forever in heaven. And I say hope. We don't know. A great line is, there's no hope in heaven. Think about that. You don't need hope in heaven because you have knowledge. And with knowledge, there's no need for hope. So we hope they're in heaven. We can add our prayers to the prayers of the saints and angels that they be accepted into heaven. But if you know someone in this life who you feel does not have a good relationship with God, that should concern you. Because if you truly love them, you would want what's best for them. And what's best for them is a relationship with God so that they can share that life with you in heaven. So the time to worry about a family member as to whether they're going to heaven or hell is not after they die. The time to be concerned is now. You can be a great source of inspiration just through your own actions and your building your own relationship with God. You can help others build theirs as well. So to our listener who wrote this in, we're terribly sorry for your loss. We grieve with you. We know how hard it is to lose someone you love, but have hope. Christ died for us on the cross and was resurrected in order to show us this is not the end, and there's every reason for hope for those who share a love in Christ. Another question I had, I got to speak this week at Corpus Christi Grade School. I got to talk to the 6th and 7th graders, and thank you guys for your kindness. You were very gracious in welcoming me, and you had terrific questions. Even the tough ones were asked with great respect, and you listened well, and you had good follow-up questions. I love sharing our faith together and explaining our faith, especially to young people. So I look forward to coming back and visiting you again. But we had a couple really great questions, and one was about Lent. And I know we're almost out of Lent, but here's something to think about for the next Lent. One young lady said that she had not an argument. She wanted to be very clear about this. We didn't argue, but we had sort of an animated discussion. And this is coming from a 6th grader with her brother. Over Lent, she believed that you have to give something up. You have to sacrifice something for Lent. And he felt that it was better that you take something on. You do something new for Lent. And she asked which was correct. And my answer was yes. I mean, they're both good answers. The whole idea of Lent, and I think where we've gotten away from this, I know people who, I gave up chocolate for 40 days. Okay, I understand if you really love chocolate and if you have chocolate every day, giving that up for 40 days, that's a sacrifice. That's a challenge. But if at the end of 40 days you go right back to eating chocolate, you haven't changed. If you give up coffee for Lent and instead of having your morning coffee now, you've given that up, you drink Mountain Dew, you're just changing the container that you're putting your caffeine in. You haven't really given anything up. And I think this is appropriate to teenagers, if you gave up being disrespectful to your parents for 40 days, that's a good thing. But if at the end of 40 days you can't wait to get back into arguing with your parents again and being disrespectful, you haven't changed. And the whole point of our sacrifice at Lent is to create a change in us, to make us more Christ-like through our actions during Lent. And for some of us, that means giving something up, taking something in our life that isn't Christ-like or something that creates a barrier between us and our relationship with Christ and tearing down that barrier. For others, it would be adding something to their life to make Christ more evident in their life, more present in their life. So whether you sacrifice something, give something up, or whether you take on new challenges and new responsibilities and new ministries, they're both good and neither matters. But what you should be looking for isn't, I'm going to do this for 40 days and go back to who I was. What you're doing for 40 days is to say, for 40 days, I'm going to really focus on being more Christ-like, on building my relationship with my Lord, and then be able to carry that on after 40 days. That's what God's looking for, is for us to come closer to Him, not just to be uncomfortable for a few weeks. He's looking to be able to spend eternity with us. And that's going to take more sacrifice than just 40 days. She seemed good with that answer, and I asked her to go back and tell her brother that they're both good. And in the eyes of God, they're both doing good, and to keep up with their Lenten practices. So I think we have just a few minutes left. The other question was about the recent address from the Pope regarding blessing same-sex marriages, and why can't the church bless a marriage? Well, the church doesn't actually bless marriages even for heterosexual couples. We marry. We offer the sacrament of marriage so that it's a valid marriage between one man and one woman. Christ, or actually God throughout all of Scripture, starting with Genesis, explains that marriage is between one man and one woman. He made two genders for the purpose of being complementary to each other, to being helpmates to each other, and through the love they share with the power of God to be able to form new life in the world. And that's what matrimony is all about. And that can't be accomplished in a same-sex marriage. And so a valid marriage is between man and woman, and we can't bless something that's not valid. That would be untrue, and the church can't support an untruth. If you were a parent, you would not offer your child food that you knew was stale because it's not good for them. And to say, here, eat this. This is nutritious. This will help you to grow would be a lie. It would be untrue. So you wouldn't do that. So the church isn't going to take a marriage that could be that is crippling to the purpose of the sacrament and say, this isn't a true marriage, but we're going to say it is, we're going to give it our blessing. That would be dishonest of us to do. And so we can't. So what the Pope said isn't anything new. He's reminding us, especially reminding those in the clergy, that you cannot bless what isn't valid. And I understand that's a hard thing to hear for some people, but it's the truth of our faith. And we cannot deny the truth of our faith without denying Christ. And we can't do that without denying our salvation. I hope that answers the question. That's how I answered it in the time I had with the students. They had a few follow-up questions that we could talk about at another time. As always, I really enjoy our time together. I hope you'll enjoy it. Join us every Saturday and Sunday evenings here at Catholic Spirit Radio at 8 o'clock for more good news, just 30 minutes out of your day to take a moment to think about our relationship with Christ and our relationship with each other. God bless. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.